It's found in James chapter 3, 13 to 18. And if you've got a Bible, do open it up. Or if you've got a phone, do get on your Bible app, but don't surf the web. It shouldn't be too boring. Are you okay? You can read it here.
It's 3, 13 to 18. Great. I've prepared this. I've been practicing all week. So James 3:13 to the end says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness."
Amen. Thank you. So James's question, James is the writer of this letter. He wants to know, who is wise and understanding among you? I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but that is his question. You know, who is wise and understanding among you? You know, wisdom is your knowledge coupled with how you act. What I mean by that is, for a long time, the humanity thought the world was flat. And so they acted upon that belief. They wouldn't venture too far out to the sea because they thought they might suddenly hit the edge of the earth and disappear forever. Their knowledge motivated how they act. Wisdom is really important. Your understanding of things is really important because it motivates the way you live. And the question James has for you and I tonight is where do you get that wisdom from? Where do you go to understand what your life is about? Where do you go to understand what marriage is, what a relationship is? Where do you go to understand what it is to be male and female? You know, these big questions. How do you understand those things? Who do you listen to? Where do you go? I was walking in a forest the other day, and it's out near Alfriston where I used to work, and I used to go there during my lunch breaks when I was a chef, and it was this beautiful forest. It is a beautiful forest, and it's one of those forests where the trees are so high and so old that you can't actually see the sky when you walk. It was a hot day. I knew the sun was there, but I could not see it. And I was walking along and I was thinking about this passage in James, and I was reminded of The Hobbit, the second film of the series, and this scene in particular that we're going to watch tonight, and I think it would just help us see what James is talking about in this passage. And if you haven't seen The Hobbit, go see it. It's a great film, especially the second one. The third one, not so great. Just constant action. I didn't know when it was going to stop. But this one is, in this scene, you've got this guy called Bilbo, and he's with a bunch of dwarfs, and they're about to enter into a forest that they do not know. They've never been to before, and they need to get to the other side. They need to get out the forest. And so we're going to pick it up when they enter into the forest.
Turns this way.
My head, it's swimming. What's happening?
He's moving.
Glory. Where have we stopped?
The path. He's disappeared.
What's going on?
We've lost the path.
Find it. All of you, look. Look for the path.
Tobacco pouch. There's dwarves in these woods.
Dwarves from the Blue Mountains, no less. This is exactly the same as mine.
Because it is yours. You understand? We go round in circles. We are lost.
We're not lost. We keep heading east.
But which way is east? We've lost the sun.
Fantastic. Ooh, that noise when he touches the thing. Oh, it gets me every time. There is so much disorder in this world. So much chaos. Whether on the streets of Tunisia or in America, there is chaos and disorder in our homes, places where we're meant to be safe. There's disorder and chaos. And the path for joy and understanding and hope and freedom can seem blocked at times. Things come up in our lives. It's just like, where am I ever going to find joy again? What is wrong with this world? This world can seem so dark, so hard to navigate, like for Bilbo and the dwarfs. It can seem incredibly dark, and we become fearful and afraid like those dwarfs. There was this guy who, entering his house one day after a long day of work, discovered a river of water coming down his stairs, and it was flooding his basement and his kitchen and his living room. And his very unwise decision was to get out a mop and start mopping. And you see, James calls us to be wise people right now. He says, don't start mopping the problem. Don't start trying to mop the disorder in the world, but go to the leak and turn it off. And so are you going to be wise and go to the leak of the disorder and chaos and find it and turn it off? Because that is what James does, and he tells us what is wrong with the world. In verse 16, he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practice. Very clear, where there is disorder, chaos, evil, there will be selfish ambition and envy. You see, James tells us that the disorder and chaos is caused by people's selfish ambition and envy. And I don't think I have to convince you that there is selfish ambition and envy in this world. I think we can see it daily. You can see it in the world. We can see it in our nation. People are envious of each other. I think we can become envious. Maybe today you're envious of someone on Instagram. Maybe you're envious of someone's life on Facebook, the holiday snaps that they're showing on Facebook. We become envious, even in the small things, but also the bigger things. So where there is envy, self-serving starts to happen. Because when you're envious of something, you start to do what you can to get that very thing. You start to only consider yourself and not everyone else. And when there is self-serving, you become destructive. And you see, James calls this the wisdom of the world. The world's wisdom is quite simply, I want whatever I want and I'm going to get it. It's all about me. And I'm never really satisfied because I'm always envious of what other people have. And you see, James gives us great hope. He points out another type of wisdom. There's two wisdoms that we can see tonight. The wisdom of the world and the wisdom that he points to. And Bilbo, in our little clip, does a remarkable thing. He points to the answer. And we're going to see what he points to.
Look. Tobacco pouch. There's dwarves in these woods.
Dwarves in the Blue Mountains, no less. This is exactly the same as mine.
Because it is yours. You understand? We go round in circles. We are lost.
We're not lost. We keep heading east.
But which way is east? We've lost the sun.
The sun. We have to find the sun. Up there.
We need to...
Oh, you not get about it.
What's going on?
No! Quiet! All of you! We're being watched.
See, Bilbo, instead of staying with the dwarfs, he goes to the sky. He seeks the sun to find perspective, to find where they are, to find where he needs to go, to find how far they need to go. And that is what James does. He says in verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is the second wisdom that he talks about. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Do we really want that wisdom? Do we really want to know what it is to be a person who is considerate, submissive, loving, impartial? It's a remarkable wisdom that James points to. And he helps us see that what motivates these two types of wisdoms, what motivated the first one was selfish ambition, what motivates the second one is humility. A humble heart seeks the wisdom from above. You've got to be humble to seek this wisdom. And I think it motivates that humble heart as well. Because if you were to ask James, you know, who James is then wise and understanding, or if we to answer that, I think we can say very few people seem to be wise and understanding in our culture because there is so much destruction. Very few people seem to have this wisdom from above. So let me tell you, what a great opportunity to be different. Not to be the person who seeks their own selfish ambition, but someone who seeks this wisdom from above and becomes a peacemaker. There's very few peacemakers in this world. And for James to be humble is to believe that there is a God and you are not him. for James to be humble is to believe that there is a God and you are not him. Because ultimately that is where the wisdom comes from. You see, James operates in this amazing story that is told in the Bible, this story of redemption. It's a story of humanity, a humanity that has left a relationship with God, that leaving was out of selfish ambition. Adam and Eve wanted to live without God. They had their own ambition for life, you could say. And that has kept us separated from a relationship with God. And so in the Old Testament, the beginning part of the Bible, it says this: the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So to begin to be wise, if you want to be wise, you've got to fear God. You've got to know that there is a God and he is not you. And to be one of understanding, one who knows how to understand life, understand marriage, understand what it is to be male and female, understand what it is to honor God with your taxes, to understand how to vote and all these sort of things, all these practical things. You must know God. You must know what he's like. You must know what God is like to you. And James says this. He says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, James points to Jesus. The difference with our situation and Bilbo's is that he had to seek the wisdom. He had to sort of climb up and find the perspective. You see, the story of Jesus is a story where he actually comes down. He's come down into the forest. Jesus is God. He came down to help us out of our mess. You see, the writer of Hebrews comments, "The Son," this is talking about Jesus, "is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Jesus is God, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. You see, instead of giving up on us, Jesus made a way for us to have a relationship with God, to have a relationship with himself. You see, this passage talks about sin in Hebrews. And sin is basically you wanting to go it alone. The world's wisdom, the wisdom of selfish ambition. And Jesus says, "I can deal with that. I can say to you, there is no more condemnation on your life. And you can have a relationship with me, and I can help you through this forest, this world, to the destiny that I have for you." Like Bilbo, when he saw that mountain, Jesus is saying in Scripture, "I've got a new creation for you. And I can give you the perspective of how to get there, and that's myself." Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me." So if you want to get out of the forest, if you want to get out of the chaos of this world, if you want to start realizing that there is purpose even in the chaos, then Romans, St. Paul, the letter of Romans says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For if you believe, you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved." So we can now see God because of Jesus. What a remarkable thing. 4 years ago, I realized that. And I keep on realizing that. Even in those songs, I was like, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." And so, not only can we fear God because of Jesus, but we can also get to know God because of Jesus. And this is really where I would like to end tonight. Because Jesus in his life, and you can read about that in the Gospels, he upheld and taught from the Old Testament. His life in flesh made the New Testament. And his spirit brought the two together and made the Bible. And God gave us a book to know God. A place where we can find true wisdom and understanding about life's most important questions. You see, before I go here, I was meeting with David this week and we were looking at a passage together where Jesus is talking to his disciples and there's a big crowd around them. And he says, come up with me, come with me. We're going to go to the mountain and I'm going to teach you some stuff. And I was just with David and I just realized that so often we can listen to the crowd. We can listen to this world. We can listen to Twitter. We can listen to the newspapers. We can understand. We can get our wisdom from the crowd. But actually Jesus calls us to come and listen to him and get true wisdom that is from above. Wisdom that is peaceful. Wisdom that creates peace. And so we're going to watch the final bit of Bilbo's and the dwarf's journey. But we're going to backtrack a little bit. See, before they went into the woods, there was a guy called Gandalf. He's a wizard. He's a pretty cool guy. I'm always a bit envious of him. I think he, you know, you can't wear what he wears day to day, but it's just awesome. I love the way he dresses. And he gave them some really important advice that they ignored quite drastically. And we're going to see what that advice is.
Greenwood alone. The very air of the forest is heavy with illusion. It'll seek to enter your mind and lead you astray.
Lead us astray? What does that mean?
You must stay on the path. Do not leave it. If you do, you'll never find it again. No matter what may come, stay on the path.
Come on. We must reach the mountain before the sun sets on Gloria's
Gate. Let's go.
So once...
He says, stick to the path. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Stick to the path and you will find your way through. And we see that with Jesus. He says, stick to me, stick to my teaching, stick to my wisdom that you find in the Bible, and you will not lose the path. And let me tell you, as a Christian, there's times when I wander from the path. There's times when I'm confused. There's times when I don't understand. And to find the path, I don't have to try and find myself, or I have to come back to his word, come back to the path that he's given me to understand things that come into my life and I'm sure come into your life. And so we're going to end looking at this amazing book. We're going to watch a video by a company called Desiring God. And if you're just looking for some sort of any resources, any Christian resources, if you someone who searches the web a lot, just go on Desiring God. It's a great place for resources. And it's sort of led by a guy called John Piper, and he's the narrator in this video. But I just hope that this video inspires you and encourages you to seek the wisdom from above that is God's word, that is given to us by Jesus. So we're just going to watch that video, and then I'm going to end by praying for us.
God wrote a book. That reality blows me away every time I stop to think about it. Pages and pages of God, his thoughts, his words, his heart, right there, just a few inches away. I can carry it with me everywhere I go, read it whenever I want. When we open the Bible, what do we see? We see God himself in this book. We meet him here, or we don't meet him, not with any hope of friendship. Reading the Bible is one of the most important things we can ever do. It's more valuable than anything we own, sweeter than anything we have ever eaten. It is literally more important than breathing. That's not always what we see and feel when we open our Bible. Our weak, tired, distracted eyes look and all we see is a lifeless, boring portrait on the wall. But it's not a portrait. It's a window. It doesn't hang lifeless in an old frame on the wall. It breaks through the wall into another world, the real world, the lasting world, the better world. And through this window shines a divine light that changes everything around us. We all know that the road to knowing God is not easy. Discipline and resolve are important, but they can carry you only so far. A few days, a week, maybe a month. For the long run, we need something stronger, more compelling than discipline and resolve. There are too many traps along the path, too many hurdles. At the root, the reason we don't read the Bible is that we don't want to read the Bible. We don't see joy, peace, and life when we see that leather binding on our shelf. We see a wall, not a window. The boring portrait, not the never-ending beauty beyond. So we put it off, leave it shut, and move on. We stay in bed. And we miss the miracle. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," loves to speak light into hearts and minds. God wrote a book, and with his book, these words in front of us, he wakens our dead, bored souls. He frees us from bondage to sin, from desires that rob us of life. He comforts the depressed, inspires the discouraged, guides the confused. He empowers us to make our lives count for his cause in the world. He satisfies us completely and forever with words, his words. So, will I read my Bible tomorrow? Where else would I go? How else will I know him? How else will I prepare myself to enjoy him forever? Yes, I'll spend the rest of my life looking out of this window, watching, waiting for another sight of him, another miracle, another glimpse of my God.
Where else will I go? Where else will I go? God's gift to you is Jesus and his word. This amazing book. And let me tell you, over the 4 years of coming to Holland Road and the 4 years of following Jesus and 4 years of getting to know so many awesome people in this room, you know, it hasn't been awesome all the time. There's been some really difficult moments. And God's word has always helped me understand the awesome times and the difficult times. When you hear his thoughts that he has for you, when you hear what he has to say to you. And this isn't like any other book where you start at the beginning and read it once. It's a book that, like John Piper said, you take with you for the rest of your life, because it is literally the most valuable thing that you will ever own. You may be envious for that car. You may be envious for that job position. You may be envious for that lifestyle that a celebrity lives. Let me tell you, if you have this, you have something that is far more worth than any of that. This is the most precious gift. And we tonight would love to give you one if you haven't got one. There's a box down here. full of Bibles. And at the end of tonight, if you haven't got one, just come and talk to me and just have one for free. It's not going to cost you anything. I'm not going to con you in any way. But you can just get stuck into God's Word. And if you're thinking, where can I start? It seems a pretty big book. That's this week. Start in Philippians. Let's go there. It's in the New Testament, in the beginning of your Bible. I have a contents page of where it is. And let's just start reading God's Word. And just allow Him to speak to you. See that words do have power in your life. And so the band now are going to just sing a song and you can stand and join them. But I'm just going to pray for us as we stand and as we worship God. And in this time, allow God to speak to you. Maybe you know His Word. Maybe you have tried to remember Scripture. Allow that. Be reminded of that tonight. And maybe if you just want to close your eyes, and I'm sure we've all come here with things on our heart, things on our mind, things that we're struggling with. Maybe this whole God thing is something that we want to know more about. We want to know who He is. We want to know this Jesus. Maybe you're someone who's lost the path tonight, someone who's gone astray, someone who knew Jesus, but you've lost His way in your life. And this song talks about, God, we look to You. We want to be like Bilbo. We want to climb the heights of Your wisdom and see perspective tonight. See Your perspective on our situation. So maybe in your heart, just with me, you can offer up whatever's concerning you tonight. You can say with me, Father, I look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know what to do. The wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that gives life and peace. The wisdom that is not envious. The wisdom that is full of love and is good to me. So Jesus, we ask this in Your name, and we just listen out to You tonight. Let us listen tonight to what God has to say.